Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on LA Talk Radio, you can find us right here every morning, 10 till 11.
That's right.
Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning, how are you?
Just reminding everybody, for those who don't know, and they're tuning in anyway.
Well, yeah, and you can listen to us anytime on the website, so.
Absolutely.
To know what actual time we.
Yeah, but there's nothing like listening live, you know, yeah. When you know everybody's listening at the same time and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the cool thing about live radio, you know, I really love it because. Yeah. You can connect with people in real time.
Yeah, definitely.
So cool. So yesterday, did you experience the rain, the thunderstorms and everything?
No, and I was so mad. I was driving back from the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah. You were
up
there.
I love thunderstorms. The only time I'm out of town, of course, there's a thunderstorm.
I was so mad. And it was only south of here. You know, I drove down to Redondo to have lunch with my cousin. And... As I was on the freeway, it started dripping, and then suddenly it's just pouring rain.
Really?
I've never seen it like this here before. Yeah.
So mad.
I know. Well, it didn't last very long, but it was fun. I know. There wasn't any rain up north?
No.
Dry, too, huh?
So hot.
Really?
I mean, we're driving through the Grapevine and up there, 107, 108 degrees.
Wow.
It was insane.
It is. It is insane. I know. And it's been getting very hot here, but... it sort of cooled down with the rain and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went to the beach Saturday, and the weather was just perfect.
Really?
It was so nice, you know, and it's just so peaceful. Even though you have a lot of people and everything, but everybody does their own thing. You know, you ride on your bike, and it's the best feeling ever.
Yeah. Well, it's a good job you didn't get in the water yesterday because someone died. Did you hear
about
the
beach? I saw the headline.
The lightning strike.
Oh, lightning strike, because somebody died from a plane on the beach, too.
Oh. Oh, well, the lightning strike here at Venice Beach killed one and 13 were injured.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
You didn't hear about that?
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
13 were injured and one 20-year-old
died. Wow, can you imagine?
He was in the water.
Oh, wow.
And the lightning hit him. Crazy. In Venice.
Who would have expected that?
I know.
Right?
I know.
You see, that it shows you when you have to go, when it's your time, you go. Doesn't matter how, you know. There will be a way to go.
Yeah, because who's ever heard of? I mean, I've heard of things like lightning striking and golf courses.
Right.
And they say don't stand under a tree and things like that when lightning's going on. Because if the tree gets hit, then the electricity is going to... I guess I don't know how it works. But he got struck in the water in the ocean, and then 13 others were injured by the same bolt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what a freak accident, man.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
It really is crazy.
In Venice.
Oh, wow.
We haven't had rain for how long?
Yeah, years, decades.
Yeah, and suddenly someone's getting struck by lightning.
I know. It's funny because we were going to sit outside and everything. And out of all days of the year, it rained, so you can't sit outside. But it was a lot of fun.
I miss watching movies while it's raining and thunderstorming.
While it's raining, huh?
Yeah.
I know. It just gives you a certain good feeling. You know, you can stay home and stuff. And
exactly. It makes you can be lazy.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't just stay inside on a Sunday when it's beautiful and 100 degrees outside.
I know.
It's like, well, I should be doing something. I should be at the beach or somewhere. And it's too hot. But when it's raining and you lay in bed and watch a movie, there's nothing better.
Yeah. So how was the wedding up north? Was it nice?
It was a bridal shower.
Bridal shower.
It was really nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there is going to be a wedding soon.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. It's so you've got October. A lot of trips up there.
A lot of trips.
Every party, every wedding, every this, every that. Wow.
Well, my boyfriend's actually the best man. It's his best friend that's getting married.
So okay.
That's why we made the trip up.
And he's from up there? Is that why you know many people up there? Okay,
yeah.
I get you.
Because
I can't see how from Florida you would have known that many people from San Francisco.
Yeah, no, it's all him.
Yeah, okay.
It's all him.
Good, well, it gives you a chance to go and see places.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, didn't you go, we were talking about Santa Barbara, didn't you drive through it or you took the freeway, right?
We took the freeway.
Right. So yeah. You didn't really get to see Santa Barbara or anything.
No.
But you got to go. It's pretty cool.
I know. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things. It's so... so close.
So close that you just don't go there.
So close yet so far. I don't get to have a chance to go.
I know.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a great weekend, actually. You know, like I said, I went to the beach, then on my bike on Saturday, and then Sunday I went to Redondo for lunch and stuff, and that was fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I kept myself busy. It was pretty cool.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see. There's not much going on. Well, there's a lot going on in the world. I don't really want to talk about all the war and stuff. But I did want to bring up something. Yeah, I told you about this headline. I mean, it says that plane kills man walking on the beach. And I have no idea how that happened. And I didn't really get a chance to look at it. But the headline is pretty emergency landing on Florida beach. Kills beachgoer, injures daughter.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Emergency landing right on the beach. You see, there's another freak accident, you know? Who would have expected
that? What's going on with airplanes? I don't want to fly.
I know. I don't either.
Apparently, you're not safe. They're supposed to be safer than cars or whatever the saying is, but apparently not.
No, they're not. They're not. Well, at least they're publicizing them, so, you know. But it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary. And this plane landed right on the beach.
Jeez.
Yeah, a small plane.
Yeah.
But I guess the people that were in the plane
survived. Yeah. Well, that's a good thing.
I know. Just like with those drunk driving accidents where the driver always survives, you know? And everyone else around them dies.
I mean, when that happens... you have to live with the guilt.
Yeah.
So it's still somewhat imprisonment.
Yeah.
You have to live with the feeling.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's true. And hopefully they sit in jail for the rest of their lives too.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Most likely.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't know. A lot of people get away with stuff.
That's true also.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, slow morning for that. And we are going to... Is this mine?
I don't know. Is it mine? Oh, it's me.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'll just click off.
Everybody's looking at their phones and
no
their computer.
No one knows where it came. Yeah. I didn't even click anything.
Yeah, you probably just opened a page and the video loaded later.
Oh, God. It's awful when that happens. It's like, who is that? Where's that music coming from?
I know. We have two guests
here.
Now I
don't want to click back
on
it.
It's their phones or something. So we're going to bring our guests in. We have Jared and we have Zach. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Of course. And let's get your names right so people can follow us. Jared Zavistowski.
Perfect.
And Jack Jezek.
Zach Jezek. Got a little
Zach,
J there.
Zach, did I say Jack?
Yes.
Okay, Zach Jezek.
Well, you got the last name right. Yeah. There we go.
That sounds like a porn star name. Jack Jezek.
Yeah. I know a lot of Z's, J's, whatever, you know. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
People butcher my last name all the time. I butchered your first name, actually. But
that doesn't happen as often, except for, you know, you get that the Starbucks cups, right?
Yeah.
Zach, Jack.
No. Never Zach, get my Jack, name right.
Huh? Are you kidding me? At least you get called, like, a cool manly name. I always get called Jerry. And I'm like, it's Jared with a D. Sorry for anybody who's named Jerry out there, but I really like my name.
You like Jared?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I just started walking up to people and introducing myself as it doesn't matter. I'm like, hey, what's up? What's your name? Doesn't matter because we can't hear each other anyway.
Yeah, there you go. And you probably won't get my last name first time anyway, right?
Hassan?
No, not mine. Yours. Zavistowski. I'm sure. Do people get it? No, I'm sure. I'm talking about other people.
If people slow down and actually try, yes, every time. But people look at it and they go, oh my God, there's a Z and it's long.
Right, exactly. And there's a key in the end. And what is this, you know? But yeah, it's cool. So what is your background? Is that Polish or?
Yes, Polish. Polish, German.
Oh, cool. And what's your background, Zach?
It's Scottish and Czech.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jack.
Wow. Great combinations. You guys are very handsome. Aren't they, Charlotte?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah. Well, yeah, you got to have a woman say that. Otherwise, it sounds funny. But no, I call them as I see them, you know? I mean, what the hell, you know?
But a man that can say another man is handsome, that says a lot for that man.
Yeah, I know. It used to be hard for me because I'd be jealous and stuff like that, you know, until I realized a lot of people are jealous of me. So what the hell, you know? Everybody's jealous of somebody else, you
know?
That's very true. But I'm sure a lot of people would love to look like you guys. So, yeah.
Well, they can. That's why we started Modern Mal Radio.
Okay, cool. So we'll introduce you. Jared and Zach have a radio show. It's actually your show. It's called the Modern Mal Radio.
Yes, that's great.
And tell us a little bit about the show.
Basically, it's the tagline is, it's all the stuff your mama should have told you and the shit your daddy never knew.
Okay.
So I basically made a book full of easy tips and tricks and things that you can use to kind of make yourself more attractive to females. And I don't do the whole pickup artist manipulation thing. Don't be badly groomed and fat and hairy and you know, just
live a lie.
And then try and trick women into sleeping with you.
Right.
I'm like, look, there's a refinement process, and I get that it's really difficult. But I simplified it and I made it really easy. So it's like, check it. You want to learn how to work out? I'm not going to give you the most complicated workout routine on planet Earth. I'm going to give you the shortcuts, the easy stuff, the stuff that you can implement right away.
Wow.
So Modern Mal Radio, what we do here, was actually meant to be kind of a follow-up to that, where it's like, cool, we could take questions if anybody had any questions.
Yeah, so it's like an extension of the book and stuff.
Yeah, and then I wanted to actually talk to people in real time about what they thought in terms of dating, and I mean, the show is really dating centered, but it's you know, my opinion, my point of view is good, but my opinion, my point of view plus five other opinions and five other point of views is very, very
much
better.
Yeah, stimulating and everything. And so it's funny because we had women talking about dating here, and it's usually women that are like involved with that, because
exactly.
I don't know why women have such a complicated picture of dating and everything. It's like there's so many things involved, you know,
because they're the most frustrated. They're the ones that are crying out, going, why? And it's like, you know, guys do that too. They don't really do that out loud, because they gotta hold that confidence, like, oh yeah, you know, I got this. But in the end, they know that they don't got it, like, they're not as good as they think they are, but they're so resistant to taking advice or help because it sacrifices their masculinity, and if I listen to this guy, I don't want to be like that, you know. It's like, no, just listen and then like take it, do your own thing, you know? It's and women are so frustrated, but they're used to being vocal and open with their feelings and da-da-da.
Right.
And it's like, we made this book for chicks.
Right.
I didn't make this book. I made it for men, but I made it like to give to girls, to give to their guys.
Oh, okay. So they know what's going on too. I mean, it's not just for men, but it's for women to understand men too.
This is like a Christmas tree gift that, like, basically we did what every girl that I've ever met was like begging for. And I took a girl's perspective, all the stuff that girls like, the girls want, that, you know, all the little psychology things, all the little breadcrumbs, the nuances, all the stuff that guys just are oblivious to. And I put it in one book. I made it really simple. I put pictures in there.
Yeah.
We made it in bullet points. I chunked it down so it's like really easy to read.
Right.
And I've been marketing it to women, and women pick it up and they go, oh my God. And they buy it for their brothers. They buy it for, like, moms buy it for their sons even. And it's not offensive to a man's masculinity.
Right.
Cause it's a huge thing. Like, we knew going in that communicating to guys was really difficult. Trying to get a guy to take advice is like pulling teeth.
Really?
Yeah.
But you decided to undertake that anyway, which is pretty cool. You know, I mean, you must've felt passionate about it.
I'm a tenacious person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, the hell with the guys. I'll hammer it into their head if I have to.
A lot of women have asked about methodology of the Modern Woman and when that's going to be out. And, you know, as we're really trying to get everything solidified with this first, and then we'll push that. But I mean, I should have started the other way around, because women are so much more receptive to advice. But I started writing this book at the request of a bunch of friends who were like, dude, you know, like, teach us how to do what you do. And I'm like, okay, let me break it down for you.
But what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
I was very popular with girls. And it was because...
Duh, you look pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
But it wasn't just that.
And but what do you mean was? When? High school? College?
No. I was horrible. Growing up, I was horrible until I was about 23, 24-ish.
Oh, really?
No, maybe like 22.
Okay.
But I was horrible. I was socially awkward. I was a fat kid. Then I got too skinny. I came on too strong. I never knew how to do my hair. The meaning of a tan just completely eluded me. There were so many different things that I was doing wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it used to be, now it's, oh, yeah, well, you're good looking, so you get girls. And it used to be, well, like I used to say to myself, I'm like, well, I'm good looking. Why don't I get any girls?
Right, right. That's true. That's true. So, and people think that you do because you look great and everything. But yeah, they don't know what's going on inside.
Yeah. And yeah. I was frustrated all the time. I wasn't getting anywhere with the opposite sex. Once I started to kind of like, I really just put my mind on it. I thought about it a lot, and I would go out and I was just like, okay, cool. And one of the benefits, throughout my growth and development process in life is that I'm really open to growing and learning. And at some point I just gave up and I was like, you know what? This is stupid. Why in the hell am I going out here every night and with these preconceived ideas throwing shit at a wall and hoping it sticks?
Right.
So I just stopped and I was like, hey, what did I do wrong? What can I do better next time?
Yeah.
And I would pose these questions to women that I had failed with or whatever. And
that's a good idea, huh?
As they slowly became more and more honest, I learned how to negotiate an honest answer. Because a lot of times women will spare your feelings.
Right.
That's something to keep in mind, is what she's saying isn't always what she's really saying.
Right.
Women are very...
what she's really thinking.
Yeah, exactly. but there's... There's a whole methodology behind it, basically. And it was, I was outside my house in Hollywood. I lived in Hollywood at the time. And there was a guy outside who was like, he was an admitted 40-year-old virgin. He was, basically he was a bit awkward, to say the least. And he was kind of standing outside. And he gave, as I was walking by, he goes, how does a guy get to be like you? And I could kind of like hear the offhanded like, insult, like, oh, you're good looking, you must be privileged. It's like, man, I grew up in a trailer park in Maine. Like I had a hell of a life. I was never privileged. Nothing was ever given to me. I had to take everything I wanted in life. And coming this far, I was like, I turned around and I'm like, yo, like, I used to be horrible with girls. And he's like, yeah, right. Like, he didn't believe me. So I started to break this down to him because I thought, I like helping people. I like teaching people. And, fuck, man, I really wish somebody would have pulled me aside and told me this stuff earlier in life.
Mm-hmm.
So as I started breaking this down, I realized there was a lot to it. And then it was like a few people started approaching me, asking me if this was stuff that could be taught. A book came up, the idea of a book. And basically, there were a bunch of people talking about, well, we should all write books and da-da-da. And, I did it.
Good for you.
So when people say to you, how do I become like you, were they meaning with girls, or did you just kind of assume that that was the route that they were meaning?
Because, it was with girls. I was living in a great apartment in Hollywood. I was dressing really well. I looked like that archetypal GQ douchebag.
Dressed for success, pretty much.
A lot of girls... even whether I was sleeping with them or not, were hanging around. Like, I have a lot of really pretty girlfriends. And people always wondered why that was. They're like, oh, you're fucking. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm actually not.
Just friends. Get a little closer to the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Because I want to hear you nice and full.
Okay. How's this?
Yeah,
I'm right up on it.
That's a lot better. Yeah, because I keep hoping you'd get closer, but I have to tell you.
Okay. So. your mic actually picks up much, much better than the rest of these mics.
Not really.
It doesn't?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Believe me.
How's this?
All great.
Is this very full?
Yeah, you don't have to be that close.
I feel like I'm making out with this thing.
Yeah. No, look at me. It's not that close, but you don't want to sit back here.
Okay.
Because then it sounds like you're in another room or something. But so this is fascinating. Now, how did you guys meet, Zach?
Oh, it was actually at a James Malincheck event. And I remember I had seen Jared and he was interacting with a lot of people. And it was funny to see someone closer to my age at one of these events. Because you go and there's always these older, wannabe entrepreneurs, or you know, kind of.
What kind of event was it?
It was a the Big Money Speaker. Oh, it's a James Malinchek event, and they talk about how to become a speaker, how to make money.
It's basically a glorified used car salesman who got smart and started selling himself. No, I mean, like, look, that's what the industry is. And don't get me wrong, like, we're going to be doing that industry someday. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's kind of a brilliant idea. Sell the idea of sales. Sell me, like...
Well, he'll teach you how to do what you want efficiently in front of a crowd.
Cool. Right. And that attracted you guys to learn about that.
Well, of course. Right. You know, that's what we're, you know, going to be doing eventually, as Jared said.
Okay.
We're just doing it on a different level. Anyway, he was speaking to Les Brown after one of the presentations, and I wanted to go speak with him as well. And I remember going up to him and, you know, talk to Brown and everything. Then we met each other, and I walked up to him, and I was saying, what did I say to you? It was, you asked me what I do.
Yeah, yeah. No, you asked me what I do, and I was like, yeah, I'm a speaker. And then I turned around, and he goes, what? He goes, I make people famous. And I was like...
Yeah, it was like, oh, you're a speaker? Cool. Well, I make people famous.
Wow.
We were both working on our pitches at the time.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So you wrote a book as well called Dominating Your Market, Strategically Using Your Marketing Budget to Create a Powerful Client Attraction Tool. Tell us a little bit about the book.
That book is... Let me back up a little bit. My family has always been very entrepreneurial. Because of that, we have created a publishing house. I've grown that publishing house since it started as, you know, a hand-holding, we're going to teach you how to write your book, how to get on stage, how to sell yourself into a legitimate publishing company, which published Methodology of the Modern Male.
Right.
Dominating Your Market basically takes everything that you would do to create, write, publish, and then profit from your book. And it's all put into that small little 150 manual that teaches you step by step how to write it, how to publish it, how to promote it. And then also what I added in there that's not mentioned, but it is in there, is how you can get your book to become a bestseller guaranteed.
Wow. So that's pretty cool.
A bestseller?
Mm-hmm.
A best-selling book.
How can you do that?
Trade well, you have to get the book.
Yeah, exactly. Read the whole entire book.
It's hidden in there, too, for that reason, because that's what everybody wants. You know, anybody thinks,
give me the secret, you know, but there's much more behind it, right?
Well, it's crazy because, I mentioned this. I wrote his foreword, actually, for the new version, because Zach came on board and we did methodology together. He did the illustrations in Methodology of the Modern
Wow. Model. But that was a pretty nice connection because you wanted to write a book and he's in publishing, right?
Yes.
That's serendipity, right?
Wow. I had two publishers at the time. I had two people that were kind of like playing with it. I didn't know who I should go with or why. You know, like there were little factors in there. One of the main ones was that they really liked the book as it was, and I had given it out to a few people, and they hated it. So I was, like, rewriting it. But, you know, if you want my book as is, like, and everybody I know thinks it's the most arrogant thing ever written, I was like, okay, I got to change some stuff. You know, and Zach was really – over the course of time, we got to know each other, and every time we would end up in the same room, we kind of gravitated. We were the only two – We were the two youngest people there. Wow. And, you know, I kind of started calling, like, he seemed like he knew what he was doing. And I kind of called him on his shit. And he, I mean, 100% of the time he delivered. I still remember when he showed up. Like, we left the seminar and I was like, all right, you want to do this? Cool. Be at my house tomorrow. Mm. And he showed up and we went through, he set up the whole, like, he talks about it in the book, but your webnet, your social media and stuff. And then, pretty much everything.
It's a lot of branding stuff that goes into it.
Yeah, like you have no idea how many people write books and they just don't go anywhere.
Right, Well, I know. I get a pretty good idea. I mean, we get authors here all the time and I know it. And it's tough, man, because, you know, you put a lot of sweat and tears and blood into this and it doesn't always work out, you know, and it's hard. But I think if you connect with someone like Zach, it makes it a lot easier, right? Because he knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. No, and well, I mean, that's what we talked about in the foreword is this book had been sitting on my desk and I didn't read it. Like the whole time we were working together, And then after we had published Methodology of the Modern Male, I looked back and I started reading it kind of just to go over it because he was going to do a revised edition.
Right.
And it turns out we had done everything in that book. And this guy's selling it for $15.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, originally it started with just how to use the book to dominate your market. Because right. like you were saying, you know, people write a book. Everybody wants to write a book. I think the statistic now is one out of every three Americans
Whoa.
Feels that they have a book in them.
I could see that.
Yeah.
But then, everybody you know, if you write right? something and you don't have a strategy or a business plan behind it, then you're consigned to a forgotten dust pile of titles that are never, ever seen. You know, they're on Amazon somewhere.
Right.
Nobody knows of them.
Dude, that is the best tagline I've ever heard.
It's in. Thank you, thank you. Now, I tell the clients that I have and my consulting clients when I'm just, you know, giving them a little heads up on everything, the difference between a poor writer, like a broke writer, and a wealthy author is that the broke writer thinks that just writing the book is going to be the end-all be-all. You write the book, it's done. You make it. You know, you're yeah. finished. You make your money from that.
Yeah.
The wealthy author knows that it's not the book that makes any of the money. The book is just your foot in the door. It's the business plan, the strategy, the marketing that goes behind it,
right.
that the follow-up, that's what makes you any money at all. And that's right. what dominating your market tells you how to do.
Right. And you need to help people like that because writers are usually creative types, you know.
So
it happens with a lot of artists, you know. They create their art and then that's it. They don't know what to do with it, how to market it or anything. And then comes you and you know what's going on, you know.
Well,
so you can give them the direction and stuff. Yeah, I mean, if I wrote a book, I'd need someone like you around,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Yeah, and that's we even started to rebrand Zach as the process was going on because the whole, you know, walking up and saying, I make people famous. Zach is incredible at nurturing talent.
Mm.
What he does well is work with people. I don't care how big your ego is. I don't care how socially retarded you are. I don't care what concept it is. Zach will find a way to deliver it. And he'll find a way to deliver his message in there. He'll find a way to get you to kind of, he'll work around it. And it was amazing to watch. It was amazing to work with him because, and that's why we're partners now. Because I saw his exceptional talent at nurturing talent.
Mm.
And it was like, damn, dude, like we could do this again and again with so many different people later down the road.
Right.
You know, and I was just kind of like the first one in this particular line. But
yeah, and Distinct Press and Innovative Awareness, the two publishing houses that we will run, I could see because since Jared came on, you know, there has been momentum a lot more than before. Because while people do need the help, you know, they need the strategizing and the consulting, they don't know that, the
right.
artistic types.
Right.
And, you know, I've got Jared to thank for really getting the snowball rolling on this one. So.
Yeah.
I'm very blasting cool. it to the world. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There's some James Malachek 101. Always be marketing.
Zach, are you originally from L.A. or did you move here from somewhere else?
I was born here in Studio City, but I had lived all over the States. I lived in Florida for a few years. I lived in Hawaii. I lived in Washington. But I grew up in Costa Rica.
Oh, wow.
I spent most
wow.
of my life in Costa Rica. And it was very much up and down there. You know, there was
right.
like an entire roller coaster. We went from living in a $1.6 million house with $6 million in assets and very wealthy lifestyle to living in the equivalent of a chicken coop. It was
wow.
five people in a one-bedroom, one-room, literally, area with a dirt floor in the complete ghetto of Costa Rica. And those ghettos are bad, you know.
Wow. So how did that happen? I mean, how do you go from that to this?
It's all cycles. I mean, I've been very blessed since I was, you know, I was born to have a family that's been very affluent, very entrepreneurial, very innovative. And it's because of that, I've been exposed to people who have gone from, you know, dirt poor to crazy rich. And who have done, you know, who have repeated that process many times over. And I've learned to do that.
Right.
Plus, you know, you attract the people into your life that will help you and that will, you know, if you put out that you want to do good, good people will come into your life. So
right.
I feel like as long as I keep a positive mentality and, you know, stay ambitious, keep going.
Without exposing too much, because I actually know the story behind that. It wasn't Distinct Press or Zach's failure at all. Because, you know, don't make it sound like you were an entrepreneur and you fucked up because you didn't.
No, like I said, I've had a very affluent family.
Yeah. But what happened on the island? Wait, no, Costa Rica's not an island.
Island, yeah. Puerto Rico. Come on now. Everybody does that.
Yeah. It was just a very, very unfortunate set of circumstances.
Well, yeah, things happen, you know. But
they are very corrupt.
Really?
Yes.
And so it looks like you picked yourself back up and everything, you know. And
well, that was, that was a big family effort. It took a lot of, I was very fortunate to have a family who was able to help do that. Mm-hmm. And, we went from that, the 1.6 mil to nothing at all. Back to America, where we have rebuilt, kind of a small empire, right?
And very cool.
Where it's only looking up from here until very the next cool. cycle.
So you run in the publishing house now?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. So you're like the next generation.
That's right.
How long ago did your family start this?
My mom's been doing it she's been doing the online thing since 92, mm-hmm. but the whole entrepreneurial, start your own business, help others succeed it dates back through my family genes, way back.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's in your blood.
It's what I can't help but do. You say something like that. Go ahead and.
Yeah, no, that's my tagline. Don't do what you love. Do what you can't help but do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Well, we're talking to Zach Jezek, right? Zach Jezek.
Right.
I'll get it right by the end. And Jared Zavistowski, who wrote the book Methodology of the Modern Male. You can also go to the website, methodologyofthemodernmale.com, and follow us as we find out. Now, okay, so we got all the background and everything. We understand about book publishing. We understand about public speaking and making friends at meetings and things like that. So now we can talk more about the meat of it all and stuff like that.
Okay.
So you felt pretty much qualified based on your experience, real life experience, to give advice to other guys.
I actually never felt qualified. I never wanted, when the whole experts thing, and people were like, I'm an expert and da 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 da. I mean, I saw guys calling themselves experts that didn't know crap about what they're talking about. And the people that I liked, that I followed, the people that really resonated with me were people that just kind of were like, look, this is what I got and it's good or it's not. Mm-hmm. But check it out. And those are the people that actually had the really valuable information. So when it comes to labeling myself as an expert, yes, but I'm always yes and no. I'm always mm-hmm. progressing. So where I am now would seem like a novice to where I'll be in 10 years.
Right.
And I think that audiences are just too smart when you try and classify yourself as an expert or some demigod. They're immediately trying to pick out the hole. They're like, who is this guy? And it almost creates an animosity.
That's true. So you don't want to come from the point of I'm the expert and everything, but here, let me so you're giving advice and stuff. Now let me ask you, what would you say is the main reason guys can't get girls? I mean, is there one main reason that you're seeing out there?
There are a ton, but
right.
The biggest one is a lack of communication. Here's the thing. So it's kind of like a big Jenga. It's not just one reason, but it all ties in interrelated. So girls start out life and they're taught to be scared. They're taught to say no. They're taught to run away.
Right.
And guys try and then they fail. So they start to develop this guy personality of confidence and I don't give a shit attitude. And it's not confidence, but it's this forward motion, fuck it attitude, and it kind of develops into this ego, so to speak.
Right.
And then women, when they're finally stop being so elusive and they start kind of opening up a little bit, the guys have already kind of molded themselves into these egocentric, non-responsive, the thing is, when a guy's young, he's very open to advice or whatever. And that's when they're chasing the most. But women never open the lines of communication and go, hey, do this. There's a huge communication gap there.
So they expect you to know.
Yeah, there's kind of and because of society today, women never feel the need to learn how to communicate properly because they can just, okay, this guy's got it right.
Right.
They find if that guy doesn't get it right, cool. Well, I'll just move on to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. There are so many here, yeah.
But I'd say the number one thing guys fail with is confidence. You know, you can that's the most important thing. And when a guy's confident, it doesn't really matter how he looks. You know, he can definitely clean himself up. Right. Confidence with bad hygiene is it's just going to take you down.
Right.
And one of the things we talk about in the book is like the whole book is a collection of problem areas that guys encounter. And you know, when you got them all down pat, then you become a modern male. You're just and modern male means forward thinking male, just somebody right. who thinks about the progression of themselves. So confidence, 100% most attractive thing to a woman ever. And a lot of guys screw that up because they're trying to find this thing and they're like, oh, well I guess I need to be louder and more enthusiastic. And maybe, you know, I need to walk up in the room and just alpha people. And it's like, no, that's not confidence.
Right.
You know, confidence is surety. And in the book, we compare it to grabbing a hammer. Like you wouldn't grab a hammer handle as hard as you could. You know, you're not just going to sit there because it doesn't work like that. Right. You know, you have to loosen up your wrist a little bit in order for a hammer to actually serve a purpose.
Right.
But you're not going to hold it in your hand so it slips out every time. You got a sure grip on it. It's firm, but it's not overbearing. You want to be, you know, kind of centered as a man, comfortable with yourself, sure of your actions and intentions, because that's what girls respond to.
Right.
That's the single, and it goes back to primal. Women need the man to – they need to feel comfortable that he's got it because she doesn't need to worry about it.
Right, yeah. And they usually want, like, to be taken care of. I mean, not necessarily financially or anything, but maybe emotionally, you know, whatever. And, yeah, so the man has to be prepared for all that.
Well, yeah, and we got – it's funny because the whole taking care of thing, chivalry is actually the first game. You know, we talk about game now and people are like, oh, what's up, Ma? You know, like they got all these different lines and stuff. And it's like, no, chivalry was the first game. Uh-huh. It was men making themselves using body language and actions and the way that they presented themselves to basically communicate that idea into a girl's head that I'm taking care of you. And everything was being well-mannered is actually like the smartest thing ever because you're making her feel like she's being taken care of. Now she feels comfortable with you without, you know, putting your arm out, picking up from a table, opening a door for her. You have no idea the psychological impression that puts on a woman's subconscious.
That's true, yeah. Because I think deep inside, women are all traditional. They all want to be treated nicely and with respect and things like that. You know,
and know that somebody cares.
Right.
And not just like the taking care, but they care.
Right.
They want to know that somebody cares for them.
Right.
Yeah, know? And that's in the book too, actually, making her feel cared for. You know, and women psychologically see if you'll do that with them, then you'll also do that with life.
Right.
You know, that little bit of extra notice is so incredibly valuable for women. Like they respond to that immediately.
Right.
You know, we draw this all out, man. I got all the tips and stuff in there. And the cool thing about it is there are a lot of books on dating out there by guys that are kind of doing the scandalous thing. And there are books on dating out there by guys and girls who are like, just love each other. And, you know, and it's just, God, awful. So it's like, what do you do to communicate? And it's like, I'm just going to make a book that's real for real people.
Right. Like, until it's like it is.
The illustrations in there are very real. Everything in there is just very to the point, very real. That's a very, I'm not going to be like, hey, look, you should go out and become a Prince Charming and da da da. It's like, no. Just as an underlying intention, kind of have that. But have that as one tool and an arsenal of tools that's going to make you a better person, that's not going to conflict with your integrity. Because a lot of resistance you get from guys that want to get better with girls is they also don't want to be, you know, the nice guys. They're nice guys and they don't want to be sleazy douchebags.
Right.
So they're like, well, you know, and then they become unreceptive to those practices or to developing themselves. And it's like, no, you can still be an awesome person and really just love the hell out of that girl, you know? And you can still learn to treat her, you know, in a way that's awesome. Like, you can learn to treat her in a way that's going to make her attracted to you as well.
Yeah. Makes sense. Now, Zach, what's your experience like with women and stuff in your life? I mean, have you had hard times sometimes? Were you, like, shy, lack of confidence? Yeah, then when...
Zach's a pimp. What are you talking about?
Hey, no, but I mean...
So you've read the book. You've got all the tips.
I helped create it.
Yeah, read the book, become a pimp, right? Go on.
No, what I like about the book is it's easily attainable. You know, you read through it, it tells you every step, and it's all stuff that you can do. It's not these things that are, you know, sprawled out, far away goals. It's you can do things now.
Right.
But when I was younger, I looked like a little Asian girl, right? My mom didn't let me cut my hair because she was dating the rock stars and stuff. I remember living with Dizzy Reed from Guns N' Roses. And we were living with them and, you know, really? We'd go to their parties and they were like, yeah, keep his long hair. So I had this idea that if I had my long hair, if I just didn't give a shit about anything, then I'd be cool.
Right.
And the women, I was young. I was like 60 years old. But the girls in my life, they respected that somehow.
Really? Wow.
And, I would have my friends over, right? And I'd always want to play the Prince Charming games. You know, right. I'd always want to be Prince Charming, and the girls would be the Sleeping Beauty, only so that I had the excuse to go up and be like, all right, well, now I got to kiss you to wake you up.
Right? Okay, good idea.
So
did that work?
Oh, all the time. They loved it. No, I was a little player when I was younger. It was funny.
Yeah, how did high school go for you?
High school was pretty good. That's when I started to get into, you know, the relationships and everything. The only thing with high school, I still do, but I skated a lot. I skateboarded, right? And I was signed, and I rode for a couple of companies, and that took up a lot of my time, a lot of my mindset and everything. So I wasn't really focused that much on, yeah, let's go to parties, let's go dating, you know, right. who am I hooking up with? So throughout high school, I was focused on a couple of relationships, but I was more focused on building my career as a skateboarder.
Right.
So
very cool. So do you still do it? Do you still skateboard and stuff?
I do. It's kind of like an exercise hobby now.
Right.
And I do it when I can, but it's still very fun. I enjoy it. And as far as dating, I have a beautiful girlfriend. Mm. I love her very much.
How long have you been together?
2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she definitely knows how to put me on track with stuff.
Really? What about you, Jared? Do you have anybody in your life right now?
No, not right now.
Not right now. You see, it's funny how people carry themselves. You carry yourself as a single guy, and you carry yourself as someone who's got somebody.
Well,
it's funny. You can tell right away about people, you know.
It's neat that you just real quick off, kind of off topic, Jared's book, actually, it covers things that have helped in my relationship. So it's not just about picking up the women, it's also about keeping them and maintaining a healthy relationship.
Yeah, that's an important distinction. I can teach you how to be more attractive to women if you're single. I can teach you how to be more attractive to women if you're married. I can teach you how to be more attractive if you're just in a relationship. Bottom line, this is about making yourself into a human being that is irresistible, likable, charming, and pretty much every girl you know is going to fall in love with you.
Like, wow.
That's what we're doing. We're not, this isn't, the tagline isn't bang any girl you want. The tagline is become irresistible to women.
Right.
Like, every girl is going to be like, wow, I really want a guy like you.
Right. Which I think ultimately is what every guy wants, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so even when you got a girlfriend, at least being loved by others is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Is it?
I like feeling sexy. I don't, you know, like... I feel like
that's just more excuse for guys to stray.
No, well, I mean, I guess it depends on where your mind's at, because I don't do that. I've actually never cheated on a girl before.
Yeah, I know. I haven't either, man. It just would be, I think, very difficult to live with it, you know, because, I mean, I know to me it's difficult because I was cheated on when I was friggin' 16 years old, you know. So that kind of like left
scars
a mark.
You. Yeah,
it scars you at an early age, you know. So, but I resolved never to do it, you know, and I, so to me, it's like if you wanna be with someone else, end your relationship first, and then go to the next.
I grew up in a broken home, you know, like my my dad was domestically violent and all the, you know, like all that good stuff. So I grew up with a great archetype of what not to be. You know, we fled the unit. Well, we didn't flee the United States, but we moved literally across the country to escape my insane father, who, you know, my mom still can't raise her arm above her head because of just the violence and stuff. And he wasn't, he did his fair share of damage to pretty much everybody in the family. And then, you know, things just progressively, like, my life wasn't particularly easy. And growing up, and I will be publishing a book called Never in the Middle about my life. You know, and it's a fascinating autobiography. In the short years of my life, I've studied to be a pastor. I was a filmmaker. I was a Muay Thai fighter and trainer.
How old are you?
27.
Wow. So you still, you've accomplished quite a bit and you still have a lot ahead of you, which is very cool. So ultimately, you say men should know how to carry themselves. They should have hygiene. They should have confidence.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say like they should have confidence,
like buy it at the store or something. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so it's something you have to work on and learn.
It's all inner work. I mean, even when it comes down to game, like the first radio show I went on, caller asked, "How would I hit on this girl?" And I didn't think about it at the time, but then later I kind of was going over my mind. And I'm like, no, I wouldn't walk up and say something. Like, that's not the move. The move is what you do inside. The move is the internal, where you position yourself. You start aligning yourself. You start feeling confidence. You start pushing that out of you. You do your mental work. That way, when you walk up, you're literally just, you're pushing it out of you like an aura. And you can do that with anything. You know, if you want it and you think about it, you can push those energy waves out, and you can start to train people to see you the way that you want to be seen.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go ahead. We are running out of time. The book is Methodology of the Modern Male, Jared Zavistowski. And we also, if you want to get Zach's book, it's Zach Jezik, and the book is Dominating Your Market.
I want to read that.
Yeah, and so that's about branding and marketing, but in general, but specifically about book publishing, right?
It's how to use your book as the ultimate tool to get your foot in the door.
Sounds good. And what's your website?
DominatingYourMarket.com.
DominatingYourMarket.com. Sounds good.
Great.
Well, guys, definitely interesting stuff.
Yeah.
We'll probably have you back, talk about some more stuff because...
Has your show aired?
Yeah.
Have you started the show?
Modern Male Radio is on at 8 p.m. Thursday nights. So, yeah, every Thursday night at 8 p.m. we actually have a radio show on this station, Channel 1. And I think... What is it? I don't think I'm going to be doing the show next week, or I may. It's either pop up or it's going to be a rerun. So tune in for that, because if it is a pop up, it's going to be funny as hell. And then in August, we've got some really special guests coming on. You guys can be really excited. Some very, very famous, very, very attractive ladies, and some very, very famous, very, very attractive men.
Wow. So I better come into the station on those days.
Thursday, 8 p.m.
Yeah, there you go, Charlotte.
Get those pictures, right?
We're going to talk about... dating, social media, dating over the internet, what that's like. We always try and find and hit a different angle on how to date or how to be with another with a woman,
right?
Or we have women in and we talk about what works for them and what doesn't.
Yeah,
and you're not going to want to miss the girls.
Yeah, I know. You want to hear what they have to say. Okay, well, Jared's website is methodologyofthemodernmail.com. You guys can check it out. Go out, buy the book. I mean, it's an attractive book. It looks easy to read, and it's full of information.
And it's
so
huge.
Thanks for bringing me one. I could use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely. I'm back on the dating scene. I need to understand this stuff. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. All the best to you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, Charlotte, of course. Thanks for joining me again, Charlotte.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
For the
the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.